Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 192 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we are going to recap this week's nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we're going to talk about a bunch of movies and shows that have happened over our little hiatus that we've had for the last month and a half. And then we're going to jump into some tech news, cover the latest in some NFT theft, some copyright laws, AI, and a little bit of space news. A lot to get to. Let's go ahead and get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 192. And this is us. We're back.
Yeah, back. Yeah.
Long hiatus that we took. We did one episode kind of post holiday time, but
basically just really to let everyone know we ain't coming back for a little bit.
Yeah, we had to take a necessary break during holiday time. Had to take a necessary break during a significant life transition for me as I had to move and things, and it was just too much to keep up with. But
yeah, you motherfuckers had to actually read some articles if you wanted to know some shit.
Which. We're assuming if you're listening to us, you don't read.
Yeah,
so
no,
we're gonna,
for sure.
We're
for
gonna
sure.
do our best.
Y'all motherfuckers don't read.
So we're gonna do our best to just talk a little bit about some of the things we missed. So unlike our normal weekly segment that's kind of tied to the last week, we got a few things that's maybe a little older than a week or two, but some of the bigger things we want to talk about. But first, let's get into some entertainment stuff. And really, with entertainment, I don't really care about the headline news right now. Let's just talk about some of the major shows, movies, things that have happened. Let's give our little thoughts here. I guess we can start with one that I know that you love, and I haven't even seen a single episode of it yet.
Oh, hell no. What?
So
what?
Go ahead and shout at me and anybody else who's listening on why we absolutely should have watched Peacemaker by now.
The only excuse to have not watched Peacemaker yet is if you just don't have HBO. Like, that is, like, literally the only acceptable excuse. Well, motherfucker, you got my password. Chill out. So, like, and that's not even really an acceptable answer at this point because
I was going to say, I actually find that to be an unacceptable answer. Like, that's acceptable to me because I'm cheap as hell. But to you, normally, that's not an acceptable answer.
Man, if you got bills to pay and you can't afford another $15 a month subscription, I ain't trying to hate on you. Like, I feel bad for you, actually. So, I'm not going to pile on because life is also obviously piled on your ass way too fucking hard at this point. So I'm on your side, bro. I hope you catch a break and you get that subscription and watch that Peacemaker real soon because that shit is fire. Like, I didn't know what to expect because, I mean, you've seen Suicide Squad 2, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, his character is like, what the hell is this thing? You know,
it's 100% made for John Cena. Like, it is the best version of John Cena.
I didn't watch wrestling during the Cena era. I was, you know, early Rock, and then I dipped out, and you know, so I know of Cena. Most of his movies, I've enjoyed them. You know, he's got a really good attitude about making fun of himself and everything. This is like his piece de resistance, man. Like, this is just epic. Like, they took everything that was great about his character in the film and just doubled down on this show. And the show literally picks up the second the movie ends. Like, it is,
oh,
like,
really?
It was like James Gunn was just like, oh, y'all want more Peacemaker? Here you go. Like, it's not like some origin story where it's drawn out and you gotta, like, find, you know, you got three episodes of bullshit about how he became Peacemaker or anything. They're just like, nope, you know him, you love him, here you go. Like, they just put this fucking show together. It is epic, James Gunn. Since you haven't seen it yet, like, I'm definitely not giving away any spoilers or anything. The theme song for the show, James Gunn literally went in an interview and said, I want to make an unskippable intro. So every streaming service has skip intro button. His goal in making this intro was to make an intro so good that you just didn't even want to hit that button. And like, one, I really respect that kind of effort and attitude. And two, like, it is sheer success. I think out of the 8 episodes I watched, I probably skipped it twice. Like seriously, most of the time, I just let it ride.
Not
most of the time.
Good enough, James Gunn.
Well, when you're binging it, I can only, like, you know what I mean. Like, sometimes I got kids, it gets late. I got time. I got to make up for.
Is the whole season over?
Yeah, whole season's over. It wrapped last week.
So I could go. Hit up HBO Max and I could just crush it.
Yep. Wrapped up last week. So everybody should be caught up. If you really haven't started watching it by now, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, because that's all people have been talking about. And with the amount of DC fail,
celebrate this.
Man. Man, take your W's, bro. Like if you are a fan of DC products and you haven't started this, like, take your fucking W's. And like, this is it is arguably the best thing DC has done since Michael Keaton Batman. Seriously, right. I swear to God. That good.
Sold. You have sold me into getting my own HBO Max subscription. Or logging into your account. We'll see later. We'll see what direction I go there. But, I've actually wanted to sit down and watch the show. I just,
life's kept you in the junk for a little while.
We mentioned hiatus at the beginning of this. That happened for a reason.
We weren't just tired. life was like, yeah, you ain't fitting this podcast in right now.
So, yeah, no, it's definitely on the top of kind of my watch list right now, is to get myself into some Peacemaker and see it. So glad we had this conversation.
Let's stay in the TV realm for the next, and then we'll move to movies. All right.
Yeah, let's jump into. So one that I did watch, because in the limited time that I did have, this one was one that I could enjoy with my wife.
Also, you paid for the 3 years of Disney Plus, so.
I also am pot committed to Disney Plus. And that's Book of Boba Fett. Thoughts? Where you at?
First episode, I was like, I don't know, man. And second episode.
First three episodes?
Yeah, like second episode, still wasn't sold. And it got a little bit better. And then it just, like, it was like they were filming the show. They got to like episode 4 or 5. They were watching recuts of episodes 1 and 2. And they're like, we really need to do something. And they just were like, no, this is a Mando show now. this is a Mando show now.
100%. My wife and I had the same conversation, that it just got to a point where they just said, yeah, Boba Fett's not good enough. No. Let's just do this Mando season 3.
I've been screaming that shit since I was 4.
Yeah. let's just do Mando season 3. They filmed the first 4 episodes and like, man, we spent a lot of money building this backstory on explaining how Boba Fett didn't die in this fucking Sarlacc pit, man. And how he was trained in hand-to-hand combat by a bunch of fucking sand people. Like, all right, we're 4 episodes into this. Let's call in the righty.
There's
here
a lot of parts that really felt like it was a really, like, so like the whole scene where he's looking for his armor floating above the like the Sarlacc thing, all I could think of is that meme where he's standing outside going, I really want to fuck that thing.
I don't even know what meme you're talking about. I have no idea what meme you're talking about.
Scroll through the cantina, man. It's in there somewhere. It's in there. But it's an old meme, you know? it was such like a weird, like... The thing almost ate you, and you fly like into it, looking for your armor. And I just the sand people stuff was kind of cool. The old western kind of like train hijacking was kind of cool, you know. But yep. It's like, I understand that a lot of
how about that motorcycle chase scene though.
That's some of the
cheesiest shit I've seen in a long time. I seriously almost never came back to that show again after seeing that.
I know. It was like some Nintendo 64 level, like, side scroller fucking bike chase. Yeah. I was actually genuinely shocked as to how bad that was.
I was the same way. Like, I was seriously like completely surprised that made it to the screen on Disney Plus. That just didn't like get cut. That they just like said, "Oh, we're gonna find a different way."
Yeah, it was like just the level of green. Like I'm pretty sure with the amount of time we've spent on Zoom together that if we had green screens, we could have done just as good. Like, I am almost 100% convinced that we...
Oh, I'm certain there's a YouTuber out there that could have done way better. Oh. Way better than what the fuck they did.
That's one thing I know. Like, for sure. I still have to watch the finale. I've been a little busy, so I just...
Really?
I haven't watched it. Well, because I didn't get into it at first, and then they got to the Mando stuff and the Luke and Grogu stuff, and I was like, okay, and I've been meaning to, but I buckled down and bought season 4 of Yellowstone the other day, so I'm sorry, I'm watching fucking Yellowstone. I'm straight rancher in this motherfucker right now. Like, I'm ready to buy a cowboy hat and start capping people. Like it's so crazy because that show is like there's a Chicago in Wyoming. Like, so many people have gotten shot and killed, and like it makes it seem like fucking middle of fucking Wyoming is Inglewood, fucking Chicago.
I think I'm like 5 episodes in.
It's a good show, though. It's a really good show.
I started watching that show while I was traveling, and in like the first 5 episodes, I was like, how much time has passed? It feels like a week has passed, and at least 70 people have been shot or killed.
And like, I just think to myself, like, maybe it's Wyoming. Maybe just nobody gives a fuck. Like, maybe this
it's Montana.
Or Montana. It's like, maybe this is how it goes. Like,
yeah,
you know, like maybe just in the middle of fucking nowhere, you could cap everything that you want, and everyone's just like, eh. I guess that's how it is.
I mean, that's how they paint the show out to be. It's 100% how they paint the show out to be, is that nobody cares about Montana.
So, and another hard thing is that, you know, the girlfriend doesn't want to watch Boba Fett, so I got to wait till everybody goes to bed, and by that time it's like 10 o'clock, and that's usually my anime time, so I'm all caught up on One Piece, I'm caught up on Attack on Titan, so I've been trying, like, it just, man, it hasn't made the priority list of shit in the last week.
That's funny, because Book of Boba Fett was the only thing on my wife's priority list, so, like, that was the only thing that we watched when we were together.
That's insane.
But yeah, in the end, like, Book of Boba Fett, and you'll see it.
What do you think of deep fake Luke?
That's what I wanted to transition to. At least you got to that part. I mean, it's solid technology, man. Like,
there were a couple times where I didn't think the mouth was really.
There were times. There were times that I thought it could have improved. But like, it is absolutely passable to where it doesn't take away from the story.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no.
It's absolutely workable. Like, even when they're like running through the jungle and shit, right? And they're doing the cheesy Star Wars runs and jumps across logs and stuff like that. Like, it's still just kind of like, it absolutely still kept with the narrative. It didn't distract from it. It's good enough at this point, and it's only going to get better from here. And it's 100% good enough right now to tell a story and to not go hire new young actors to pretend to be them, but just like keep giving these old heads money and let them just be younger in movies again.
One thing I did like get into deep thought about, because I'd be high as fuck when I watched this shit, I was watching the one episode, and I was thinking about how long it took us humans to really accept like interracial relationships. And these motherfuckers just interspecies, like it ain't no big deal. Like, they, like, space is uber progressive. Like, they've got that shit down. That chick was all about, like, you know, like, droids, banging droids, I definitely could see. We got dudes out there banging droids right now. So I could understand that, but I just couldn't. You know, I can't imagine looking at one of them big pig dudes being like, ooh, I'm going to get me some of that. So I was actually really impressed with that. Like, I went into like some really deep thought about like, man, I wonder in 1,000 years if we can like put that shit aside. Like, I don't know, man.
You know me, I don't get high. I could only imagine it's a special level of high that you're watching that and coming up with this train of thought and thinking that you're somewhat enlightened.
Speaking to someone that's never gotten high, like, no, you do not need to be really high for that. You just, that is a byproduct of any THC consumption.
All right, well, let's transition out of some of these you know, nerd favorite TV shows into a few movies that you've recently
seen. I'll do a couple of speed round movie reviews.
I didn't see you write anything.
Man, like, bro, life is... I've been working on my house like crazy trying to get some shit done. Like, it just... Yeah. And these movies just aren't inspiring at all. And I was really just like, we're gonna fire up the podcast any week here. I was like, I got time. Like especially with Uncharted, I was like, we're gonna talk about it next week. I don't feel obligated, right? But so yeah, we'll start with Uncharted. All in all, I was pretty entertained by this movie. It's really falls in that National Treasure kind of like pocket. You know,
yeah, I mean, that's what the whole premise of the game is, pretty much, right?
Yeah, like, if you like movies like The Mummy and National Treasure and even like the Da Vinci Code kind of movies and stuff, like if you like
Tomb Raider type stuff,
yeah,
right?
If you like those movies, I'd say better than Tomb Raider. Well,
better than movies. Jolie, I'm talking about like the game premise and this. Yeah, yeah.
So especially considering it's a movie based off a video game, like video game movies have not had a record of success or even quality for a long time. And I enjoyed it. You know, I went in expecting a video game movie. If you expect like a kind of more serious movie, you might be a little disappointed because they do a lot of like the outlandish stunts in situations that you would only see in a video game. You know, like even from the trailer, the whole cargo plane with all the packages hanging out the end, jumping from package to package, 30,000 feet in the air, going 500 miles an hour. Like, yeah, it's not realistic. But you know, when you play a video game, you give in to that kind of fantasy. If you can go into this movie and give it that video game kind of leverage, like it works. Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland had a lot of good chemistry. It was exciting at times. You didn't really know how it was going to pan out. Is it a great movie? No. Like, no, it's not you must go see it. But if it...
Yeah, the only thing I've really seen is some articles talking about how like the, you know, the heads of Sony are already claiming this to be like the next successful Sony franchise that they're going to build off of this, and
they should. They should.
And from what I've heard is it was successful enough to where more people are going to come see it again. Like, it's good enough. If you can make 10 Fast and Furious movies, you could probably make 3 of these.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if we can have an entire universe based off of outlandish driving scenarios in family, then we can keep up with the Uncharted series. And honestly, like, I would, you know, they did the one Assassin's Creed movie. You figure if they take some lessons they learned, they could boot up a lot of these franchises. You know, we got is it a Fallout TV show coming out?
TV show.
You know, so I think that we can take a lot of these stories that we've played, because I mean, essentially, it shouldn't be any different than taking a book and turning it into film. Like, we've read books for...
No, I think a lot of these modern video games are more developed stories than what you get in a screenplay, probably going into a movie. It's like they're, you know, you're talking about tens of hours of character development and stuff put into a lot of these. You know, what is it? The other one, The Last of Us, is also being made into that.
We got a Halo show coming out. We got, you know, like, we're going to get a lot of these stories. And this is giving me faith that it's not a money grab like a lot of old video game movies have. Like, I grew up with a Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter movie, man. That was rough. That shit was rough. Like, what's the actor that played Gomez in the Adam Family movies? Like,
oh,
dude,
yeah,
played M. Bison, man. Like,
M. Bison, like, yeah.
I don't think dude ever lifted a weight in his entire life. He's playing M. Bison and shit. You know,
fly through the screen, though.
You don't get Schwarzenegger for Zangief. Like, what kind of fucking world am I living in where they allow this shit?
The Austrian wasn't going to play a Russian. Get out of here.
Well, it's the closest we can get. Us Americans don't give a shit. Us Americans don't give a shit. Like, does he talk funny? Yeah. Is he big? All right, sold. But yeah, if it was quality, you know, if you wait for streaming, I don't blame you. You know, but if you got nothing better to do, you've played the Uncharted franchise, you like the Uncharted franchise, man, go support your what you like. The fact that PlayStation pretty much has their own studio now. They had a big intro, PlayStation intro, with like God of War showing up, like how Marvel and DC do their things. Sony had their own, like, we make games, now we gonna make movies. And yeah, I support the stuff that you guys enjoy, man.
Yeah.
One thing you should not support.
Uh-oh.
I went and saw a sci-fi kind of like disaster movie, Moonfall. You know, because who doesn't love disaster movies? You know what I'm saying? Like tsunami waves taking out buildings. You know, you got rock jumping from fucking, you know, all kinds of shit in that one movie. Like, so I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, it was space. You know, that's right up our alley. I figured I kind of was obligated to go see a space disaster movie. This thing was straight trash. Straight trash. Like, this one did have me like writing notes down because I was going to write an article and like go try to really go ham on this thing. It was what I've learned is now a hollow moon. You know, so like we have flat earthers, we also have hollow moon people. Yep. That. Yep. Believe the moon is hollow inside and is actually like a space station or satellite of some sort for alien beings. Like, this is like, yeah, some hollow moon guy's psilocybin induced fever dream. Like, it really was just a kind of cash grab disaster movie that just, it went all over the place. They just took like these puzzle pieces of like movie tropes. Like, you know, jerk stepdad in the beginning of the movie has to come save stepson and die in the middle of the movie. And it's like, okay, that's a trope. Like, but if you do it well, it fits. And it was like, nope, here's dude being mean. Here's dude being nice. Smash. Like, no development, no fucking like heartfelt nothing. Like, it was so insane. And like fuck it, I don't care if you see it or not, this alien comes and like shuts down the engine that is like keeping the moon in orbit, so the moon is just getting sucked into the earth to the point where like earth and the moon are going to collide. Yeah,
and that's how physics works.
Yeah. And I mean, like, towards the end of the movie, the moon is literally like scraping against the earth at that point, and it's like no human life survives at that point. like you don't get to get in a helicopter and try to run from that. Like, what are we doing here? Like Neil deGrasse Tyson had to have a fucking coronary watching this fucking movie. Like, somebody check on Neil. He's probably not all right.
How great would that be to just...
Oh, I want to watch that with
get
Neil.
Get some liquor and sit on a couch with Neil and watch that movie.
That is like top three things I want in my life right now, is just get high as fuck and sit with Neil deGrasse Tyson and watch Moonfall with him and watch dude tweak out. Like, I think
Do you think he's the kind of guy who like just shouts and talks over the movie, or is he the guy who's going to pause it and like lecture mid-movie?
Pause. It's a five-hour experience. It's a five-hour experience, and he's the dude that jumps out of the chair and is just like, oh, 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 then hits pause.
100%.
And then just wigs out. I can't, stutters for 3 minutes before he can get his fucking thoughts together, and then, yeah, just shits on everything about it. Like, I'm probably, as soon as we're done wrapping this, going to tweet at Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, hey, bro.
And ask him, can you see Moonfall?
can you watch Moonfall and live tweet the entire time? Because, like, I really need that in my life. Like, I really need that in my life. But, yeah, it was straight trash. I'm trying to even remember a lot of the other, like tropes that they just straight butchered. But just, like, picture everything, you know, like divorced husband, wife, like they literally took every like fucking plot and storyline from every other disaster movie and just like plugged it in the most horrible fucking way they possibly could. Watch that movie though, because it's so bad you kind of really need to see it.
I had literally never heard about this movie until you told me tonight about this. So, but whenever it makes it into my circle of things I'm already paying for, I will watch it.
Yeah, when you're scrolling Netflix or something and it comes on and you see the title Moonfall, you just be like, oh, I know what we're watching tonight. just hit that button and we'll revisit this whole topic because I would really... Oh, my God. Yeah, it was so bad. It was so bad that people that love bad movies, like the, what is it, the Razzies, the Rotten Tomatoes Awards, yeah, yeah, or whatever, like, yup. Taking it all, bro. It's taking it all. Every award. Right,
well, I think we spent enough time on that movie there. Let's jump out of entertainment, unless you got any hanging things that have come across your mind here in the last, you know, yeah, month that we haven't been recording.
Not that I can think of, man. I think we're all caught up on entertainment. I know there's some stuff. I mean, I got my tickets to the Robert Pattinson Batman that's coming up. We got, you know, a couple trailers, the Doctor Strange trailer. We can maybe go over that next week, you know, and some stuff like that. But I think we're good. We should actually get in some actual informative news.
Nah, no information coming your way. But yeah, let's jump into some tech talk here. And as I always like to start our tech talk, is in my current infatuation, which is the world of crypto and NFTs. And I got to start this conversation to reset everybody's expectations here, because people who've been listening to this really have looked at me as the NFT person who's just driving all these conversations and stuff like that.
Well, I mean,
but you have jumped into this world now.
Well, yeah, like I'm
in a new level.
Well, I mean, I like monies. Crypto is like really down right now, and it's like so funny to me because, you know, when you mint an NFT, it's usually somewhere between 0.04 and 0.16 Ethereum. As Ethereum's gone to the goddamn grave, no one's raised their mint prices.
It's still not to the grave. It's still where it was a year ago. Like, it's not.
It's less than half of what it used to be. Like,
fair.
Like, if you know, I'm 6'3". If I just got half as tall as I was, motherfuckers be shocked. Like, you know, so like that's what always amazes me. So like, to me, anybody minting NFTs right now, it's like a fire sale.
Maybe. Like, an NFT, I mean, that's assuming literally, that you think it's not going to go lower.
If it's 0.04 Ethereum, the NFT you bought at the fall or summer last year was $350. It's $110 right now. Like, that's a fucking deal, bro. Like,
I could see that logic.
How do you not see that logic, you cheap motherfucker? Like, you gotta be loving this shit right now. Like, you were NFT crazy when Ethereum was at $4,000. Like, you gotta be scooping up every shitty doodle on the fucking internet right now.
I do have.
He's like, I do have every
NFTs.
Shitty doodle on the internet.
I do have entirely too many NFTs. I do have an obscene amount of JPEGs that may or may not be worth something somewhere in the future. But no, you know what I'm talking about when I say that you've gone down a completely different path with your experience in NFTs.
I literally have one tattoo right now associated with an NFT DAO, and I'm getting another one on Wednesday. So, okay, I have lots of tattoos, so let's just put it out there right now. I have some that are questionable, others that are dope as fuck. So for me to add another questionable tattoo to my tattoo portfolio, the tattoo I have right now got me an NFT worth 0.69 Ethereum. Literally, somebody just paid me, essentially, $2,000 to get a tattoo the size of a quarter. Like, I'm sorry.
That one, that's a return on investment.
It's a fucking no-brainer, bro. It's a fucking no-brainer. Like, so you can at me all you want. You can at me all you want. I really believe in the project. I was going to mint the cheaper version of the NFT anyways. An opportunity kit was presented to me where I could get a tattoo and get the uber expensive version of the NFT that unlocks a shit ton of more utility and perks. So I said, I'm fucking down, bro. I'm fucking down. I don't give a shit. And I did that shit. And I have no shame for it whatsoever. I'm putting it out in the ether right now. Like, it mints today at 2:22 on 2/22/22 on a Tuesday. I'm getting airdropped a fucking NFT because I got a tattoo. And then because of that tattoo, I was trying to get whitelisted for another really big project, and someone suggested, like, hey, he got a tattoo for an NFT. And then the owners of that project were like, hey, you get a tattoo for this project. We'll get you that whitelist too. And I was like, God damn it. Like, God, damn it. And then he sent me the logo that he wants me to get tattooed. And I was like, actually, it's kind of cool. I was like, actually, I really like that. It's just another fucking fucked up story in my life. Like, that's fine. That's fine. Give it to me. Give it to me. So I will be going Wednesday to get a sucky ducky. If you don't know what sucky ducky is, you can Google that shit.
So there you go. So for anybody who questions who's driving all of the NFT conversations around here, it's mostly me. But but Steve is now absolutely a culprit in this space now. Man,
you present a broke motherfucker opportunities to possibly get rich, and I'm going to jump on it, okay? I'm going to jump on it every fucking time. Every fucking time.
Yeah, so we can jump from establishing Steve's credentials here in the NFT world, and let's talk a little bit about some tech and some NFTs. And we've got,
this is fucked up,
so I have to talk about this because it was such a, if you're in the NFT space, you definitely knew about this and you probably shit yourself for a little bit about it, and even if you weren't in the NFT space, you probably heard about this. And OpenSea had users lose really hundreds of NFTs. You were talking about a couple $1 million worth of NFTs. And when it happened, there was such an absolute shitstorm across the NFT space. And, you know, we're talking about the NFT space, for those who aren't into it, it is largely communicated through Twitter and through Discords. And we're talking about within minutes that one person caught onto this, heard about somebody getting scammed and having their wallet drained, and then boom, like this information is spread across everywhere. Everybody's getting alerts, push notifications to their phones that, hey, OpenSea's been hacked, or this other exchange that was brand new that happened in the last like 7 days that nobody even knows about this place, but they're just like, hey, it might be them. Like, maybe they're the problem because they're new, or maybe it's OpenSea.
Instantly, when it went down, that YouTube video, it popped in my head. Hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your NFTs. They coming.
It caused such an accelerated amount of panic across the entire NFT and crypto space.
Well, I ran to my phone, I ran to my computer, disconnected my wallet from everything that I possibly could. Like, fuck yeah. And I'm no NFT whale. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's looking at for my NFTs?
So, and that's the thing, right? That's the speed of communication and stuff that comes out. That's how quickly it got out to everybody. Everybody saw it. Everybody tried to disconnect their wallets. Most of the time, disconnecting your wallet isn't good enough. So people had to go and revoke contracts, to completely permanently on the blockchain say that a contract can no longer interact with your wallet. That costs money because that's a transaction. So then people were going and paying these fees to transact and revoke privileges to OpenSea, to other sites that have nothing to do with OpenSea or nothing to do with these other ones. They were just revoking everything, which isn't a bad practice, but not necessary for this case.
I mean, if you were a dude, you know, so like, if you're like me and you just own a couple NFTs and a Kenny Monster Chicken, you shouldn't have been too worried about it, you know? But if you got a couple Bored Apes and a CryptoPunk, they were coming after your shit, bro. Like,
so, and this is the thing, though. Everybody freaked out. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, probably more than that, spent on revoking access, on delisting listings in OpenSea because people thought maybe it was a listing bug, which cost money to cancel a listing. Like, we're talking about significant amount of money spent in this. And you thought the scope of this was that, like, all of OpenSea was affected by this. Really, what it was a targeted email scam. The same thing as what we've seen in the 1990s and the beginning of email, of somebody faking somebody else's email, getting you to click on a link or call a number or do whatever. Say, like, just taking advantage of shitty human behavior where we don't read what we're doing. We don't verify the websites that these links take us to. We don't do anything else in connecting your wallets. In the end, how many wallets do you think were affected by this phishing scam?
I don't know the actual hard numbers on how much was stolen and how many people were affected on it yet.
32 wallets.
Wow. That was
But you think it's thousands, right? Yeah. You thought it was the entire NFT space affected by this, that it was this massive. Well,
so many people at first didn't know it was a phishing scam. They thought it was an OpenSea hack.
100%. And this is what I'm saying is, like, it's the beauty and the downfall of the space.
Well, we say it religiously in this. The weakest link in any internet security is the fucking human. It's the fucking human, you know, and it shocks me still to this day. You know, it's 2022. We have entire generations that were born and raised with email, with fucking, you know, shitty text message scams. You know, like, people have grown up knowing that if the link that you're clicking doesn't even have a legible word in it, like, you probably shouldn't click that link. And I mean, I'm not going to dox who it was, but we have a friend in the cantina that is in internet security that even shared a link with us at one point that was, yep, that was a phishing scam for NFT projects. Like, it amazes me how susceptible we still can be knowing that these things all happen. Like I'm to the point where I don't click anything in an email, nothing, in a text message, and like, I do not, if it's got a blue line on it, I ain't fucking clicking it, man. Like, that's the sad part, is that, you know, I think OpenSea may have took like a hit on this, because a lot of people were like questioning OpenSea security at first and this and that. The speed of communication that you've talked about, once people realized it was an email phishing scam, that kind of went around. So like, a little bit of faith got back in OpenSea, but you know, it didn't, you know, some people are still skeptical, most likely, you know, a lot of people don't think that stuff kind of through.
I still saw NFT influencers and stuff that's after kind of the phishing stuff was pretty well known, still bad mouthing OpenSea and blaming OpenSea and talking about it as a hack. And that's what I was saying, was the danger of this space and how we communicate and how quick that communication is, and the fact that we don't really have a true authority to go to. It's literally just some people who have somewhat of a developing, like a developer background with 10,000 followers that share something that somebody with 100,000 followers shares, and then all of a sudden that gets spit in every Discord and we act on it. And acting on it can cost us hundreds or thousands of dollars in response. But we have no idea whether that information is valid.
But is this
or not
any different than cash? Like, what are the metrics on how much fucking cash gets whatever, you know, email phishing scheme hacked or like whatever the term is? There, people get conned out of their fiat every goddamn day to the tune of hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars a year.
Right.
You know, so
I'm not talking about on the scam side. I'm just talking.
Well, I'm
about,
just saying,
like,
this makes it seem like the NFT space and the crypto space is more susceptible to these types of scams and to getting robbed than you are with fiat cash or hard cash in your pocket. Like, still right now, you are more likely to lose money out of your fucking Chase account or out of your goddamn wallet walking down the street than you are if you have a crypto wallet or an NFT wallet.
I don't disagree, but that's why I'm saying the level of panic that can be shared in space. I'm not talking about the scams anymore. I'm talking about the communication tools that we have and the lack of authority on.
Well, the NFT community is really tight, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're never
Which
just
is good
in one
and bad.
Yeah, you're never just in one Discord. You're not just following one Twitter account. You know, the bad that you're talking about, though, is more to the gullibility of humans. Like, just because someone in your Discord shared the fucking link doesn't mean you should automatically trust the rando in your fucking Discord, you know?
Like, yeah, but when it's shared in every Discord, right? And it's the breadth at which the communication hit in such a short amount of time. I'm telling you, it was just absolutely impressive at how quickly that information spread. And ultimately, unfortunate in how inaccurate it was. And most of the people in the space just said, like, oh, it's fine. You know, like, it's good. It was a good example of the communication. Better safe than sorry. People acted and they took extra steps or whatever else to be safer. And it's like, well, they also, like, spent hundreds of dollars to people that maybe that was everything they had. Maybe that's all the rest of the ETH they had. Maybe that's what took them 2 months to invest and save. And they spent it because of this panic monster that happened through Twitter and Discord that didn't meet the actual problem at hand.
Yeah, but I mean, so looking back on it with hindsight, that's easy to say. You know, as humans, how much money a fucking year do we spend on insurance for shit that doesn't happen?
Yeah,
even if you spent your last ETH to protect your NFTs, in that moment, it was the smart fucking play and you did the right thing. hindsight being 2020, yeah, you could have saved that ETH. You could have waited a little bit. But man, you got a fucking $300,000 fucking ape. You got a fucking, you know what I mean? You got a $10,000 fucking vampire. I don't give a shit. Like, if you had to pay $150 to make sure that didn't get stolen, then that's what you did. And I'm not judging anybody for doing that. Like, I commend the NFT community for being so proactive in warning people that, like protect your shit. Here's how you, yeah. Like, people were posting screenshots of how to disconnect your wallets, how to cancel contracts. Like, at the end, it's ultimately your decision.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Discord,
they just put out the information. You still have to make your own personal choices and take your own personal responsibility for what for the outcomes are.
It's a pro and con of the space and the tools that we use. Like, it's these same tools are going to save people's asses somewhere in the future. So I'm not saying that it's necessarily a broken system. I'm just saying, like, there's like, this is how panic cycles and stuff, this is how things can get out of control, is the fact that we just don't have. Hopefully something emerges in the future that's more of an authority that, like, this is the space.
As we're talking about this,
give us the real information.
There was, what, 36 people that really wish they did that shit that we're talking, a lot of people did, that they didn't have to do. There's 36 people that lost, man. Like, you know, Snoop was shitting his fucking pants.
But that stuff was gone before. Really, before people caught on, like I said, it's just an interesting case in the sense that, like, 32 walls were affected. They were affected early in that thing. It did not continue to happen well into the everybody kind of freaking out about it. It wasn't like it was a continuous thing that was continuing to happen.
They most likely sent out the phishing scam. Once people clicked the links, they kind of got all their ducks in a row, and then and in one instance,
targeted everything at once
before they could shut OpenC down, before they could shut anything down. It was a planned attack to see who they could get and what they could get. I feel bad for the guys that got, you know, but at the same time, like, you got that much money in NFTs and you're in this community. Why are you clicking links?
Why click stupid links and don't keep everything in one wallet, and like there's better security practices. But yeah, no, feel bad for those people too. But at the same point, be better.
Let's keep it moving.
All right, I was gonna say we went on that.
Well, this is a big story. This is a big story.
All right, let's talk a little more crypto stuff and the theft. But this one's just an interesting story. So I don't know if you saw this. Department of Justice was able to seize $3.6 billion worth of Bitcoin from a Bitfinex hack or theft that took place back, I think, in 2016 or 2017. And the DOJ was actually finally able to seize all this Bitcoin. And the reason why it's interesting, one, like, if you, I don't have time to break down this whole criminal enterprise and this couple that stole this money and what they've done. But it's a fascinating story. The reason why it's interesting in the tech space is because, yes, the DOJ was able to seize this money, but how they were able to seize it and track it since 2016 and the measures at which this couple went through to hide their money by sending it out of Bitcoin. They tried to wash this money just right, like any money laundering thing. Right?
I think how they got caught was an interesting aspect of this story, if I remember
correctly.
Just
like any money laundering, they try to wash it through different exchanges. They sent this money in and out of Bitcoin into Monero, which is supposed to be untraceable, a super like privacy cryptocurrency, sending it back and forth to different places, ultimately to try to make it to where it was never going to be identified where those wallets settled. And in the end, just goes to show that the government is able to trace whatever they want. The cryptocurrency is not the place for criminals that everybody says it is. It is trackable. It is traceable. Even apparently in these privacy coins that are supposed to be fully anonymous.
And from what I recall from reading the article, how they got caught was pretty careless and stupid of them for somebody that stole so much fucking crypto.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately how they got caught was just some pretty good like financial forensics and stuff like that. The government tracking it across multiple chains, multiple different type of cryptocurrencies. But then how it got seized is just like, yeah, absolutely simple, stupid issues that anybody who deals with crypto knows. Like, don't save your seed phrases and private keys on your computer or anywhere that's easily hackable or found. And that's where the government found it, was on their computers in the cloud computing system. They found their private keys to their wallets which means that they were able to access those private keys, import those private keys, and then control those wallets and drain those wallets and recover the money.
You would think, you know, people that steal that kind of much crypto, you know, I don't know, maybe because years had gone by, they're just like, oh, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're good, and we don't want to be bothered with like writing this down or remember where we wrote it down or putting it somewhere safe or whatever else. Like, no, we're just going to store it in the cloud.
Yeah,
we're going to store it in the cloud somewhere and hope that that's okay. But nope, the government found it. And,
even like the movie Evil Genius would have it on a USB around his neck. You know.
Yeah. So in the end, yeah, definitely. A good attempt to try to shell and hide the money. Like I said, this goes to show people who talk all the time about cryptocurrency is the, you know, the main purpose of it is for criminal activities and stuff like that. And like, yes, there is a lot of crime taking place on the blockchain, but it is not like if you want to get away with crimes, it is still no better place to do it than US dollars in cash, hard cash.
That's what I try to tell people. Like everybody that thinks that crypto is just like, oh, money laundering and criminal shit. Like I just try to like, do you know how many houses along the Mexican border are just filled with cash inside the walls? do you realize how many holes in the earth are just dug and filled with the most disgusting amount of cash that you could ever think of? Like, let's be realistic here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's keep this train moving. We've got a few more stories to get through. And we've got another one that's, yeah, it's not really crypto related. We could, you know, create a transition here about NFTs, and a lot of NFTs are created by AI generative systems and AI art. But an interesting decision by U.S. officials in the last 2 weeks was that AI created art cannot be copyrighted. And this follows the precedence from apparently, like when I dug into this about how this came about, I guess it follows the precedence based off of like there was a art painted by a monkey in the past. That also the art painted by the monkey was not allowed to be copyrighted. And this fell under that same precedent that if it does not have direct human interaction and human control, then it cannot be copyrighted.
So this is really weird to me because even though it was created by an AI, doesn't a human give the AI the parameters in which to create the art? Like we don't have an AI computer program that is just being inspired by ones and zeros in creating art. Like most of these NFT projects and stuff, they put into parameters. Here are the traits. Here's the baseline format, blah, blah, blah. Create a bunch of shit for me. And the AI creates it. Is there not a human aspect involved in that that deserves the copyright credit?
And that's now the big argument is then, where is the limit of human?
The monkey one, I almost agree with here. More than the AI. Like, I almost agree with the monkey more than the AI. Because, like, if you just put a paintbrush in a monkey's hand and he makes a fucking picture, that's that monkey shit. You need to pay that motherfucking monkey, right? you didn't do shit. That monkey painted it. Even with the AI, someone had to program it. Somebody had to create an algorithm. Somebody had to, like, it's not like we have sentient computers yet that are living autonomous lives that are making art. At some point, a human had to be involved with that AI creating art. So how is it not copyright?
And what they're saying is like the actual programming of it, like training an AI to study Picasso and then to be able to recreate something similar with human prompts or whatever else is not enough. That it has to, specifically the fruits of intellectual labor have to be founded in the creative powers of the human mind. So you have to have a more direct approach based off of this copyright law. And I'm just curious on how this is going to play out in kind of the art space. Like there's a lot of AI art. There's a lot of really interesting.
So that means like I can start printing Bored Ape t-shirts and selling them and nobody can fucking do a goddamn thing about it. Not the creators of the Bored Apes, not you know what I mean? Like nobody involved can stop me from.
So that's a different from thing. From licensing. You're talking about like a generative project, but those traits are still created artistically by a human. So really what these are talking about is more of AI systems that mimic human painting, mimic human, where there's very little, and there's a ton of it. There was actually one NFT project that I recently like played around on their website, and it was actually a really cool website. I wish I knew the name of it because I'd love to like plug this person because he did a really cool thing, and he trained an AI system, and you can go in there and just give it a prompt and you can say, you know, pick whatever garbage saying that you want, or and you could type it in there. You could say what kind of style you wanted it to paint in it, whether it was gonna be oil paintings or, you know, abstract paintings, whatever else. And it spits something out based off of just what you put into it. That wouldn't fall under copyright because it wasn't driven by human creative powers. All we did was give a prompt to a system that was trained. And so
my curiosity is now, say you plug all the shit into the AI, like you just said, puts out a picture. Now, if I take a digital pen or a physical pen and I sign my name on it, seriously, is that enough?
That's why I brought it up here, because I find it a fascinating argument, a fascinating kind of concept of,
you know, so all I have to do is put my own watermark on it so that it's officially, you know, a human touched it, a human added to the overall art. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that enough now? Because then, yeah, all you got to do is put a fucking dot in the bottom fucking corner with your own fucking hand or digital marker, and now it can be copyrighted.
Yeah, and like I said, that's the interesting kind of question going forward, because really, like, we are going to kind of emerge into a space where art can be created just as easily by, especially when we're talking about digital art, by a computer system that can be trained. So somebody who doesn't have artistic talent could be a phenomenal programmer and program something to make some breathtaking art that is accessible to everybody. And
yeah, I just feel this was a room of fucking boomers that don't know shit, that are just like making fucking laws about shit they don't understand for a generation that they really don't even like.
Yeah. Like I said, it's to me a fascinating concept. It's a fascinating ruling that took place, especially in a space that is actually emerging. AI art is already here, and it's going to improve, and there's going to be more and more people getting into that space. So this ruling will be heard of again in precedent for future arguments when it comes to copyright. But we can talk about a little more AI, and we've got a study that came out, and what the study did was look at AI-generated faces. So we're looking at AI video, AI pictures, where AI systems fully create a human being from head to, I don't know, chest, because really this study was looking at faces only.
If they can get down to face, I think a set of boobs is pretty easy for them at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So what we found, what the study found, was that humans could no longer reliably tell the difference between a real human face or the generated image. Without training, it was like nearly impossible. The accuracy at which these humans were able to call out an AI-generated human vice an actual image of a human was incredibly low. And then they did some testing where they trained these people on things to look for, on how to spot AI-generated fakes and kind of where some of the flaws are. And then even after that, it was still a staggering amount of failures, where we're looking at still greater than 50%, 59% of the time they resulted in not identifying the fake.
Yeah, we've been talking about deepfakes for a long time, and we knew it was getting to this point. Now we just have scientific proof that it's that good, and it is at that point. careful who you fap to, boys. your fear before was that your online crush was probably a fat hairy dude somewhere. Now it might not even be a person that exists. You know, I would prefer, honestly, that if I'm going to get duped, you know, some incel is going to get duped, it'd be by an AI chick, like, rather than the fat, hairy dude that is just really creepy. So, like, I guess this is a step in the right catfish direction. but either way, it's a sad, sad story.
Well, and another kind of odd finding that came out of this was that they also rated people off of, like, trustworthy scores. And what they found was that the faces that were fakes, they actually were rated more trustworthy than the real ones in the collection, even down to the fact that for the most part, the ones that were smiling were deemed as more trustworthy. But even the synthetic fake faces that weren't smiling were still rated just as trustworthy as like the real ones that were smiling.
The AI has got all kind of psychology on this about jawline and eye symmetry and everything. Like, yep. There's marketing research for all this shit. All it had to do was learn that marketing research on what makes somebody trustworthy, what like the eye, you know, like face symmetry and shit like that. Like, that's why it's so scary, is because we have done studies on these things. We do know the effectiveness of these things. And now we have supercomputers and AI that can use those tools against us in marketing campaigns and God only knows what other things.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to a little more AI and robotics. Let's talk about a little Chicago staple of White Castles is now getting another 100 new locations with the Miso robotics company called the Flippy 2. They're now on version 2 here of the robot burger flipper. And they're rolling it out to 100 new locations, which is not a, you know, we're beyond the initial PR testing. Like, this is a pretty big buy.
And I don't really feel bad about this because I've been in a White Castle at 3 a.m. drunk and saw that old lady, that miserable old lady standing at White Castle at 3 a.m. just because she needs health insurance. And this is the only job she can get, flipping them tiny little square burgers. Like, because all it is there's 100 of them on a goddamn fucking griddle. And then just flip. Like, I feel bad that lady doesn't have an opportunity to make an income, like, and she's going to have to go somewhere else to find it. But, you know, it is a sad moment after a long night of having fun to walk into White Castle starving and see the misery of the burger flipper in the back. Like, I would rather see Flippy too.
I mean, this is going to happen whether people like it or not. White Castles is somebody who's definitely walked into plenty of White Castles. Like, White Castles was definitely ripe for the picking when it comes to like robotic.
Well, and this is all fast food, right? I mean, we have stands now where you order your food. You don't even have to talk to a human to order your food at McDonald's anymore. We can't fill these job positions because everybody wants to make more money. Everybody, you know, chastises these corporations and stuff for not wanting to pay a burger flipper $20 a fucking hour to turn their wrist all goddamn day. Yep. You know, so, you know, we have this huge employment issue that if people have been paying attention to regular news, not just nerd news, that, you know, there's help wanted signs all over the jobs they can't fill. Well, if you don't want that job and you want a higher paying job, don't be mad when these companies take all this money and invest it in a way that they can keep operating and stay profitable. So they put the robots back there so that in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, you look back on it and be like, well, maybe I should have just took that fucking burger flipper job. It might not be around anymore. You know, we're eliminating a couple million jobs from the job market that'll never come back. I mean, I think about this all the time when I'm on the highway. You will never see another toll booth operator for the rest of your fucking life. We are raising a generation of kids that toll booth operator. What the fuck you mean toll booth operator? You mean somebody used to sit in a booth and take change all goddamn day? Like, yes. And that was a good, high-paying government job that people fucking loved. All right? And that thing is fucking gone. It's gone and it's never coming back. And this same shit's going to happen in the fast food industry and in a lot of different industries, man. And then we're going to wake up one day and we got 330 million people that need to go to work to provide for their families. Man, you better figure something out, man. I'm a big advocate for the trades.
All right, let's keep just chugging along here. We've got a couple stories left as we're pushing some time, but we've got a little bit of space, and you know, we haven't talked about China in a long time. We've been gone.
Yeah,
let's
insert
let's
fuck China intro.
Yeah. So here we've got a quick story on China starting to develop a satellite network, 5G satellite network, specifically kind of looking at competing with Starlink. So really looking at low Earth orbit satellites, trying to build speeds greater than like 500 megabytes per second, networking across China. They've now sent their first batch of low-cost, low Earth orbit satellites out in space. And I don't know, any surprises here? Any surprises that they start to see the success and capabilities from somebody else, and they're going to create their own that they own, that they can control the bandwidth?
Well, I mean, you knew this was coming. China wasn't just going to let an open internet
100%
infiltrate their fucking country. This should shock nobody. You know, yes, it's to make money, and they're like, it's a competitive market and blah blah blah. You also have, you know, Bezos shooting satellites up. He's going to try to compete with Elon. This is just China ensuring that you ain't going to get that outside perspective from the world. You get Xi perspective all day, every day. You bought that Xi life. So,
well, the article does say that they are obviously starting at home with China, but they intend on offering this and trying to extend this coverage to customers around the world. You signing up for that Chinese internet?
I mean, if you wanted to, you can go shop on Alibaba too if you wanted, you know, but like they need to make sure that their citizens have control, because 100% Starlink is banned. 100% Starlink is banned in that country. So, like, yeah, of course they will take everybody else's money and provide a service for everybody else. Just like how TikTok is everywhere, but the TikTok in China ain't the TikTok in the fucking United States. Let's be real here.
Yeah. So, what is interesting about it is, you know, it does just show, you know, that China's never far behind technologically. They're also deploying this through 5G, which they are still eating our lunch here in the US as far as 5G capabilities. And they're rolling this out as 5G internet and 5G capabilities, so they can repeat it across 5G towers and other aspects. So while they're copying kind of the concept of Starlink, they're also doing it in a slightly different way technologically. And they're doing it in a way that we currently don't have the ability to compete in.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I mean, it's this whole Starlink thing is new. So of course they, you know, Elon's pioneered it and he's been trying to get it up and running for years. So of course they hacked his servers, figured out what he was doing and improved on it. You know, like that's what they do. China going China.
Yeah. And then our last,
this last story kind of really tweaks me out though.
This is yours.
Yeah. So China has what they are calling a space cleaner satellite that is orbiting Earth that is basically a kind of like weird virus looking thing that floats around space, finds space trash, and then shoots it away from Earth or makes it, you know, crash into an ocean. Basically is after the scare we had about that one satellite coming down, China took the initiative to deploy this space cleaner to ensure that no more satellites can haphazardly crash into Earth and possibly kill dozens, if not hundreds of people. This sounds like a good idea. And, you know, if this was German space cleaner, I'd feel a lot more comfortable about it. If it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could put any country in a goddamn world other than North Korea in front of space cleaner, and I would give them the absolute benefit of the doubt. But you know, with the word China in front of it, yeah, they're cleaning up like shitty satellites right now as test fucking pilots until the one day that they want to fucking go and dismantle the United States GPS fucking satellite and put us all in a goddamn fucking
moon.
Like that's what this is happening. Like, and I'm sorry, I don't hear much about our space force after Trump made it. Like, we really don't have that many space force fucking stories going on. And I would hope that somebody in a uniform that I've never seen with a title that is something that I've never heard come on the news and be like, hey, I'm this dude from Space Force. Don't worry, we're on it. We got it. But crickets. So far, crickets. And I don't feel too comfortable about this.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept. And like you said, it sounds like a good thing. It actually sounds like something that we should be doing. Like, 100%. There should be people, like, even if it was just private companies that have just well-paid people here in the United States just controlling remotely these drone satellite scrapers, cleaners that are just picking up dead satellite pieces and just throwing them out of our orbit.
You walk up to 100 people and you tell them that China has a satellite that's throwing other satellites into the sun, and your first thought is not about fucking altruism and cleaning, okay?
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, we should be doing this. Like, I actually would expect our country and, you know, the private sector to be doing this. But
you know who the second country I don't trust with a fucking space cleaner satellite is? Ours, Russia. Motherfucker. Okay. Like, fuck that. That's the number two, motherfucker. Okay. Like, so I'm not going to be too harsh on China, because if you put U.S. Space Cleaner satellite up there, yeah, they're cleaning, but we all know that motherfucker's up there to do some dirty ass shit too, okay? Like let's be 100% honest with ourselves.
You're not wrong. All right. I think that's it. That's it. That's all we're going to do for this week in news.
And we're back, folks. We're back. Yeah,
we're back. We're going to start doing regular stuff here again. So expect the formats going forward being a little tighter to the freshest of the week in entertainment and
it's actually technology. A little weird hearing my brother's voice again, because for the last month and a half it's been nothing but Facebook Messenger. I almost forgot what he sounded like.
we're gonna kick off again some Cantina conversations, get some interviews out there again. We're back in full swing here over at
the I was just thinking about show. The other day, I really got to find somebody to fight me on something. I haven't done a Fight Me Friday in a long fucking time, and I really want to do a Fight Me Friday.
Go find that, like, Moonfall fan.
Let's go. Let's go. You find me a hollow moon, like a hollow moon guy, I am so fucking down. All right, Cantina, that's your job. Find the most prevalent hollow moon YouTuber and send them my way.
All right. Well, until we have that Fight Me Friday, we'll just continue these weekly episodes. Go ahead and join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. George, just whatever. Listen next week. That's the biggest ask is, hey, we're back. Continue to listen. And we'll continue to bring you some shitty versions of news.
Until next week. With that all said, man. See you.